it with these wing nuts. Everything's got to be win and lose. Everything's a football game.
America's lost hope because where there's life, there's hope, but it is the black-robed devils who are deciding who lives and dies.
No. No, it was the next of kin. But you can't talk to these morons. They're four-square morons.
Listen to these emails. Thursday, March 24th. Florida militia, please contact me. We're going to need several hundred willing to storm the building. We're on a mission from God. I suspect that hundreds of civilians may go with us. There is very little time, but I've got people ready to roll tonight. Failure is very probable, but not to try is to fail already. Too small of a force will mean total failure. It is a bridge too far, but with enough people it may work. Nope, nobody home. I would ask Mr. and Mrs. Schindler to make the following statement. We have said that we do not want civil disobedience to save Terry's life, but the time is nearly gone. We are asking that the militia and concerned citizens intervene immediately, doing whatever is necessary to save our daughter. Of course, if they had done that, they would have been looking at large time in the large house. Oh, my God, do you believe these people? Cannibals! Everything but the grass skirts and the bones through their noses, these people are cannibals. So you got that. Meanwhile, Pope John Paul II, complete with feeding tube, has gotten the last rites. We don't know if they blew the holy saltine down his nasogastric feeding tube or actually placed it on his tongue where he could choke to death on it, because he can't swallow anymore either. Poor old fella, suffering from a terrible urinary tract infection. He's got a humongous fever. And as I asked someone leaving the station today, if the Pope does pass on, will smoke pour out of the transmitter to our sister station, 1070? Sorry, that was just bad. God bless him. Meanwhile, back in Florida, back in Pinellas Park, the sister of Terry Schiavo offered a message of thanks to the lawyers, the doctors who volunteered to help, the supporters, and even the media outside the hospice where the brain-dead woman died this morning. These were her words. May God give grace to our family, said Suzanne Vitadamo. May deluded wing nuts give money to our family, she added, snickering into her sleeve. Then, of course, a new order has been formed in the Catholic Church to fleece people out of their money, or rather fight for pro-feeding tube issues. The church is going to establish its first religious society devoted exclusively to fighting euthanasia and abortion, according to church leaders earlier this week. This story from the Los Angeles Times. The male only, of course, another little dark corner for the pederasts and the kitty diddlers to hide out in. Male only missionaries of the gospel of life, founded by Father Frank A. Pavone, an outspoken opponent of women, is going to be housed in a vacant Catholic high school and dormitory on the grounds of the Diocese of Amarillo. Its priests will be trained to conduct voter registration drives, use the media to get out their anti-abortion message, and to lobby lawmakers to mimic their hatred for women. Now, there's no word yet on whether or not they're going to be allowed to burn people at the stake. And, of course, in the middle of all of this misery and death, nobody seems to give a damn about a dialogue on eating disorders. Now, that's the problem that set the whole Schiavo nightmare in motion. Or a dialogue about traumatic brain injury, which she had. The traumatic brain injury budget for the United States gets slashed to zero. That's zero. That's no money. That's nada. Niente. Nothing. It gets slashed to zero under President Kutcher-Life's budget. And finally, just this little bit of food for thought. While we're at it, nobody's apparently caught on to the great big shaggy dog story Karl Rove perpetrated on us when he coined on the side of life. Remember that? On the side of life. Now think about that for a minute. Just sort of roll that around there like dice in a Yahtzee cup. On the side of life. Oh, what's the first word there? Right. By default, these gibbering goobers have admitted that what they were doing was a howling error on the side of so-called life. You see that? And God knows how many thousands of mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging, Kool-Aid-drinking, strychnine-handling morons they pulled into the... That's beautiful language. It really is on the side of life. No, stupid. It means you're making a big old mistake. What do I keep trying to tell you? You got to pay attention. on the side of life, indeed. Now, it's probably too much to hope for. But to coin a phrase from Shakespeare on Mrs. Shivo, and flocks of angels sing thee to thy rest. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Everybody's trying to tell me what is right for me.
There's a tornado.
Where there's a forest fire.
Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
Where there's a search.
Where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
Where
disaster strikes.
Where one volunteer for us.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
You know us. We're your neighborhood Leader drugstore. Independently owned by people who care, we're able to give you fast, friendly service, and we're proud of our prices. Generic, Leader brand, or national, Leader prices are hard to beat.
It's true. You really can save. But that's only one of the reasons why Leader's my favorite drugstore. I like the people. They're so friendly. They really want to help. And Leader accepts most major prescription plans.
Leader, it's your neighborhood. It's your drugstore.
And now today's health report, a nutritional boost. Older folks looking to strengthen their immune system may find the answer in a nutritional supplement full of antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals, says a report in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society. A group of seniors who drank the supplement for roughly 6 months had a total of 78 sick days compared to over 150 among an unsupplemented group. They also had more antibodies after being vaccinated against the flu, indicating a strong immunity to future infections. As adults age, some become deficient in the nutrients needed to ward off immobility, chronic disease, and chewing or swallowing problems. A well-balanced diet can help, but it's not always possible. With different nutrients to satisfy different health needs, this supplement may add the boost many seniors need. This has been today's health report to help you stay healthier longer, brought to you by Leader Drugstores. Find the location of the Leader Drugstore nearest you at myleader.com. Leader Drugstores, it's your neighborhood, it's your drugstore.
WWNR Beckley.
Here's Bob Kincaid. Head On.
Welcome back. 20 minutes after 7 o'clock, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. What a fun little day I had today. I've got to go down and hang out and rally with some really, really good people in Charleston at the Capitol, the Mountain Justice Summer Kickoff. It was loads of fun. Took Bob the Second Edition with me. Bob Part 2, The Adventure Continues. He's with me here this evening. And what just an outpouring of good feeling and real concern and decency and honorability it was, especially when you compare it with the bought-off Fiends of Coal rally that preceded ours. Now you got to realize that the fiends of coal, you know, that astroturf organization that couldn't live without. Well, it's kind of on. It sort of runs in the same vein as what we were talking about a few minutes ago. It's an astroturf organization, meaning, you know, it looks like grass, but it has no roots. It's on artificial life support, too. The fiends of coal would dry up and blow away if they didn't have some executive from Charles Ryan and Associates, who, by the way, is just getting paid horse-gagging loads of cash from people, well, largely Massey and other members of the West Virginia Coal Association. It would dry up and blow away without those infusions of cash. That was the beauty of the group I was with today. Folks from OVAC, folks from the Highlands Conservancy, folks from Coal River Mountain Watch, our friend Matt from the American Indian Movement. Man, what a stirring speech he gave. But we don't have to be bought. You know, at $2.20 a gallon or whatever, everybody came there on their own hook. They didn't have to be bribed to be there. Like the fiends of coal did. Of course, the fiends of coal wrapped everything in a big American flag. You know, there's nothing, be it God's creation, God's mountains, God's valleys, or the flag of these United States, which we hold so dear, there is nothing that the fiends of coal won't desecrate. And they had to, you know, they had to get people to bring cans of food for the food bank, because that was the only way they could feel good about what they did. They're such a sickening bunch. They can't. They know. I mean, well, you know, do you wonder? You know, we don't carry any of it, but when you hear Mountaineer Sports, do you wonder why they have to pour at thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars they pour into advertising on Mountaineer Sports, whether it be basketball or football, or fiends of coal? Why do they have to do that? They have to do that because a majority of West Virginians oppose what is being done here in this state through our mountains. The rape, the pillage, the plunder, the poisoning. And so necessarily they have to buy their support. That's one thing that tells you my side, our side, has already won. Because the support we have is sincere support. It is committed support. It is support that is real and will last as long as the people themselves. That is true activism. Great music. Some of it that you've heard from time to time on this show. Live music. And, you haven't lived until you've seen a Miss Mountaintop removal pageant. Oh, and she has a lovely wrap of fly rock. So, the next time we have one of these, this was about kicking off Mountain Justice Summer. And we will be around all summer long. It's an homage to the Justice Summer, the Civil Rights Movement, the Redwood Summer out west of some several years back. And ultimately, you know, because, you know, the beauty of this movement is that it won't quit. Like I said, it doesn't need the regular infusions of cash. Cash is always nice, but, we don't have to be bought. We don't have to, the fiends of coal are bought and paid for fiends. We happy few, we stand together because it is the right and decent and moral and, oddly enough, pro-life thing to do. And eventually, our voices were heard. And frankly, our voices probably instill a little bit of disquietude. Because especially this legislative session, we have had a chance to count those who stood with us and to take ample note of those who stood against us. And, you know, while Don Blankenship can buy himself a phone bank and do mass mailings, you really can't compare that with the strength of people going door to door, shaking hands, talking to neighbors. That is the real activism, and no amount of money spent by Donnie Blankenstein can match it. So I'll keep you posted the next time we get together. Hopefully some more of you can come and join. We had a good 150, 200 people from time, thereabouts. A lot of good media coverage. Things are changing. Things are indeed changing. Now, if you want to get involved with the program, the local number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. You know that, of course. We stream live for you on the Internet every night at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. You can get in touch with us. One of the best ways is probably bob@headonradio.com, although you can try WWNRNetphase.net. No guarantee that it works, however. It's time for our bottom of the hour break. Your phone calls. Some really fun stories, too, when we come back. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
One question. Is your money that good? Will it buy your forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die and your death will come soon. I'll follow your casket by the pale afternoon, and I'll watch while you're lured down to your deathbed, and I'll stand over your grave till I'm sure that you're dead.
You know what? Good evening, this is Carl Mike, WWNR News. The State Division of Highways has awarded the largest single contract in state history. A Chicago firm has been selected to construct a new $120 million bridge over the Ohio River near Parkersburg. The bridge will complete the four-lane upgrade of Route 50 from Clarksburg to the Ohio line. The route was one of the original 23 Appalachian corridors, which were selected in 1965 under the Appalachian Development Highway System. A Marine from Somersville, killed in Iraq last week, will be laid to rest on Saturday. Corporal Brian James Richardson died Friday during combat operations in the Al Anbar province. The 23-year-old was a graduate of Nicholas County High School and Glenville State College. He had a bachelor's in education. In addition to his parents, there are two brothers and a sister. Funeral service 11 o'clock Saturday morning at Somersville Baptist Family Life Center. Burial will follow graveside rites by the U.S. Marine Corps Honor Guard at Spruce Grove Cemetery in Mount Nebo. Senator Rockefeller is urging law enforcement officials to start networking with police in other states that would lobby Congress against President Bush's budget cuts. Rockefeller met with law enforcement and elected officials at the State Police Academy in Institute this morning, and he says there's not much that can be done this year because the House and Senate have already passed their versions of the budget, which still need President Bush's signature. But Rockefeller says they can make a difference next year. Police and elected officials from Kanawha and Putnam counties begged Rockefeller to do something about a proposal that would cut about $6.5 million that West Virginia law enforcement agencies receive in federal grants. They say those cuts would devastate their ability to deal with an escalating methamphetamine crisis. Legislation is pending in the state legislature that would control over-the-counter medication and other items needed to manufacture methamphetamine. That's the news. Here's the forecast. This evening, partly cloudy. Tonight, partly cloudy. Low 42. Then for tomorrow, rain and late in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high near 60. And then for tomorrow night, rain. It gets much colder. It turns windy. 36 for the low tomorrow night. Saturday, rain and chilly. with a high only near 45 on Saturday. From Newstalk 620, this is Carl Mack when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Working people across the country concerned about the future of Social Security will be holding rallies in more than 70 cities today. The rallies will be held by labor unions, working families, and other organizations such as the AARP in front of Wall Street firms that have expressed support for the Bush administration's plan to privatize Social Security. These groups have expressed concern that the plan could inflate the federal debt by $5 trillion and would weaken retirement security. One of the primary targets in most cities is Charles Schwab, one of the major backers of the push to privatize.
The United Food and Commercial Workers Union is zeroing in on Target stores. The first major Target to be organized is a planned superstore in St. Paul, Minnesota. Ernie Hess is the UFCW's organizing director in St. Paul.
We have a targetunion.org website. There's Target workers from all over the U.S. posting, asking questions, getting information. There's been a number of union activity out in Michigan. You see it occasionally flare up out on the coast and then in Minnesota. So workers are talking to each other. They're posting their experiences. They're talking about, you know, what it's like to be working under the bullseye.
Hess says union organizers have to overcome the fear that often grips workers when they try to use their legal right to organize a union. Wages, health benefits, and respect on the job are the top issues at Target stores. Hess says retail is labor's next frontier.
Like basic steel, just like the auto industry, they said it couldn't be organized, and then people got together, built the mass movement, and they built those into good jobs. That's our mission at this local.
The UFCW says it will salt the St. Paul Target store with as many of its members and organizers as possible as it builds a community campaign to support the organizing effort.
In Westchester County, New York, frustration is increasing for bus drivers currently on strike, as 9 were arrested on Tuesday for allegedly trying to block a bus from leaving a depot. More than 500 drivers have been on strike against Liberty Line since March 3rd. The primary concern is that drivers who have given 20 years of service should be allowed to retire with full health and pension benefits. Currently, drivers that retire before age 62 must give up 25% of their pensions.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. The Center for Budget and Policy Priorities says Social Security continues to be a powerful poverty preventer for those 65 and above. Social Security lifts 13 million seniors above the poverty line, according to the U.S. Census. Without Social Security income, 46% of America's seniors would be living in poverty. In Florida alone, Social Security lifts 1.1 million seniors out of poverty. With Social Security income, fewer than 10% of senior citizens in the U.S. live in poverty.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative. Pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
We were rallying for the future today at the Capitol. Yesterday, there was some other rallying going on. People with disabilities rallied at the Capitol yesterday because they're paying attention, and they know that about $156 million worth of Medicaid is, as we have discussed, going to be slashed from the state budget. And about 71,000 residents of this state, out of 374,000 children, elderly, and disabled people, and low-income adults on Medicaid, about 71,000 stand to get slashed. West Virginia, open for business. West Virginia, closed for those who need help the most. Now, honest to God, how do you square that? How do you square saying West Virginia is open for business with the notion that your people, 71,000 of them, don't matter. I happened to be listening to another broadcast on the way down when we got into range of Charleston, and I heard the governor on one of those broadcasts saying that talking about his plan to take away West Virginians' constitutional rights, you know, the third party bad faith law. Heard him saying, you know, I really pinned those insurance companies down. I said, don't you come to the table telling me you're going to freeze rates or that rates will go down someday. He said, I want to put money in West Virginians' pockets. Now, I don't mean to seem like an ingrate or anything, but you're not doing me a real big favor in the long run because, you know, I'm pretty good at this long-run analysis. You're not doing me any real big favor if by putting money in my pocket you mean $8 a month. And in return for that, I'm supposed to like it if, God forbid, somebody ever rear-ends me or T-bones me or hurts me or one of my family. I'm supposed to look up when I can't hold that insurance company's feet to the fire. I'm supposed to look up and say, yeah, well, by God, I got $8 a month in my pocket. Who am I to complain? I can't make it work. I can't square it. All that teaching for all those years, civics and history and fife and drum corps and Yankee Doodle Dandy and we hold these truths to be self-evident and when in the course of human events and in Congress. That stuff kind of sunk in on me. It took. I was fortunate. I had good teachers, and they did a good job of instilling real passion for the freedoms that are supposedly American. And part of that freedom has to do with not letting people run over you. Now, somewhere out there, some people have gotten the notion that insurance companies are better than us. And that our rights, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, you know, that's what gets embodied in the Bill of Rights. That's what's embodied in the Constitution of the state of West Virginia. Our rights are worth more to me than $8 a month. Esau traded away his birthright for a bowl of thin, runny, miserable gruel. And I'd say $8 a month to give up your constitutional rights is pretty much right up there with the good old Esau. Now, down through the ages, Esau has come to be another word for short-sighted fool. If we let our legislators, and you know the bill's in the House now, if we let our members of the House of Delegates give up our constitutional rights in exchange for $8 a month, we are Esau, they are Esau, and the insurance companies laugh all the way to the bank. The interview that I heard was between the governor and Hoppy Kirchival. And knowing that the Hopster is a good conservative Republican, I was waiting for the tough questions. I would have been waiting a long, long time. You know, one of the questions, Governor, if you're so sure that the insurance companies are dealing on the square, why won't you encourage them to open their books and prove it? If you're so absolutely certain that they're really, really honest engine going to put money in West Virginians' pockets, if you're really certain they're going to put more money in West Virginians' pockets, why won't you make them sign a declaration to that effect? I mentioned it last night, the line from Robert Frost, good fences make good neighbors. when they sign a document to the effect that they're really going to give us money back, that's good fences making good neighbors. Now, there was a hearing yesterday, or rather Tuesday, I should say. There was a hearing Tuesday on taking away our constitutional rights. And insurance agents came out of the woodwork like cockroaches, screaming and squealing that they wouldn't be able to do business anymore. Funny, they've been doing business all along. But if we don't give up our constitutional rights, it's all gonna dry up and blow away. I don't like being lied to. How about you? And what's more, I don't like being lied to again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Now, I don't run around, thank God I don't have cause to run around suing an insurance company. And knock wood. That was the top of my skull. It's having to pass for wood right now. No, there's some. I don't want to. I don't want to ever have to. I don't want for anyone to ever have to. But I do know insurance companies for what they are. Now, I've mentioned in the past the old parable of the snake. The woman who picks up the wounded and injured snake on the side of the road, puts it in her car, takes it home, nurses it back to health, and one day reaches down and the snake lashes out and bites her. That's a poisonous, venomous, deadly snake, and as she's laying there taking her last gasps, she says, why'd you do that? I nursed you back to health. I took care of you. I made it possible for you to live. And he looks at her and says, lady, when you picked me up, you knew I was a snake. Now, isn't that exactly what's going on here? When you hear things like an insurance agent saying that rates are higher than the surrounding states and they're just going to go up and his company's going to leave the state and quit writing policies. Now, isn't that snake talk? Of course that's snake talk. And you can hear the of the little forked tongue if you pay close attention. Is there anybody within the sound of my voice that actually believes insurance companies mean them any good? I doubt it. Because anyone who's ever had to deal with an insurance company has learned and known that you have got to be able to hold their feet to the fire if you want them to deal with you honestly. Then the question remains, if you are unwilling to call, you know, I'll say it, John Pino, David Perry, Tom Luizos, those are my delegates. All three of those gentlemen. You vote in favor of this destruction of West Virginians' rights granted under the Constitution. You do this, you will not ever have my vote again. And that's the same message I've passed along in phone calls and emails. Not ever having my vote again does not mean that I'm going to vote for some Republican. It means I'll leave it blank, and leaving it blank is as deleterious to them as voting for the other guy. Or what's more, maybe we'll find somebody with enough guts to actually stand up for West Virginians instead of insurance companies. Somebody willing to stand up for West Virginia families instead of standing up for the money. We've seen that trick. We've been to that show. We know how the movie ends. It doesn't take a lot of intestinal fortitude to stand up for the money. Apparently, though, it takes a whole lot more guts than most people in the legislature have to stand up for West Virginia families. What about around here? In this county, in Summers County, are you willing to let your delegates know that you cherish your rights under the Constitution? Do you cherish your rights under the Constitution? I don't know. Now, it's my understanding that the phone calls to the Capitol are running massively against this proposal. Where's the proof in that? I'll tell you where the proof in that is. Another AstroTurf group. We talked about the Fiends of Coal being an AstroTurf group because it looks like grass, but it's got no roots. Another one of those AstroTurf groups is, of course, CALA, Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse. One, there is no lawsuit abuse in this state. Any of it that does arise is promptly punished. This is just another one of those make-it-up-as-we-go-along, gotta-be-paid to have the support kind of groups. Who do you suppose runs West Virginia Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse? Could it be somebody with ties to the insurance industry? Could be. Who do you suppose funds? There's the fun one. It's not Cherchez la femme, it's Cherchez l'argent. Who do you suppose funds West Virginia Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse? Is it nickel and dime contributions from Ma and Pa West Virginian? Nah. It's the insurance industry, and it is a wellspring that runs deep and cold. Money, 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 money. Why do you think the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is running all those lying ads? West Virginia's 49th. It's a judicial hellhole. Thursdays, I'm going to meet one of these Chamber of Commerce creeps. These U.S. Chamber of Commerce creeps. And I'm going to ask them up front, why do you continually libel and slander the state of West Virginia that I love and hold dear? Why do you do it? Is it because you don't want any more foxes guarding the hen house? Are these great big crocodile tears? But anyway, the proof is in the pudding as far as the outrage of West Virginians against this this monstrous bill that will take away their constitutional rights. Because people are calling their delegates. On the other hand, West Virginia Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse had to phone spam the Capitol. People who had no idea who they were calling, why they were calling, or what they were calling. West Virginia Citizens for Lawsuit Abuse, if you read the story, had to actually make the phone calls for them. That's like having to hold somebody's hands and punch the buttons on the phone. It's just pitiful. Trying to create some idea that there is some segment of the population in West Virginia that's just tired of those rides. I don't know. It looks like a pretty old right, and I ain't used it lately, and it might be running a little slow. What do you say we trade it in for $8 a month? Wow, are we that dumb? Really, are we that dumb? You know, at the hearing Tuesday night, Gary Zuckett from West Virginia Citizens Action Group, he hit the nail on the head. He said the only reason insurance companies want to get rid of third-party bad faith is so they can increase their profits and more easily abuse West Virginians. You can see that, can't you? I mean, these are some genuine, true blue, rock-ribbed, dirty SOBs, these insurance company lobbyists. Rotten to the core. And, there's nothing in the article I saw about anyone showing up from West Virginians for Life to stand up for our constitutional rights. Where's West Virginians for Life going to be when, I don't know, when one of their precious pregnant women gets hurt in a car wreck? Where are they going to be when the insurance company lowballs them? Where are they going to be when the insurance company lowballs mommy and she had a miscarriage? Now, they've got themselves a little law, I told you about it before, that says that no matter whether it's an embryo or a zygote or whatever, if it's in there, it's a life. It's a baby. It is a fully viable, functioning human being. That means the insurance companies are on the hook for it. Oh,
well, but hey, you pro-lifers, they're not on the hook if you can't hold their feet to the fire. Or are they not that important? Is it about the life? Is it about protecting the life? Or is it about protecting the insurance companies? That's your call. But, you know, it's only fair to mention that if you do not make the phones ring, if you do not fill up the email boxes and sound sincere and intelligent and informed on the issue, unlike these Calla cretins, if you don't do that and they take your rights away, you will be hard-pressed to have anyone pay attention to you when you're busy getting the screwing of a lifetime from the good hands people, or your good neighbor, or the people who are on your side, or the people who saved you 15% on car insurance. I'm not going to listen. Nobody else is going to listen if you will not stand up on your hind legs and fight for yourself just this once. Because as I've tried to show you, this issue crosses a lot of boundaries. My friends who are trying to save the mountains need to make phone calls on this one. You think coal companies don't have insurance? Think again. When one of these sludge dams breaks and hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals die, you think there's not going to be some insurance involved somewhere? Sure there is. And what are you going to do then when the insurance company says, we'll give you $25 a life? Who's going to hold their feet to the fire? If this bill gets through, nobody. Nobody, sunshine. And you'll do your weeping and wailing all by yourself. This is a broad, broad, broad issue, broader than you can imagine. Life insurance, does it apply to life insurance? Sure, it applies to life insurance. But mostly it's car insurance, I'll confess that. But like I told you before, how in the world are you going to collect on your underinsured motorist when the guy that hits you, when his insurance company won't cough up the 20 measly grand that they owe you before you can ever chase after yours? If you listen quietly and you read this bill, you can hear doors slamming all over courthouses all over this state. Third party bad faith, first party bad faith, fraud. It's almost endless, the possibilities. The question is, have you been sucked in by the propaganda? Do you believe that the place that you love and call home and think is worth fighting and protecting, fighting for, do you believe it's a hellhole? Look how these people work hand in hand. Look how the insurance companies and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce works hand in hand with the likes of Massey. West Virginia's a hellhole. Might as well blow it up. West Virginia's a hellhole. Might as well fill up the valleys. West Virginia's a hellhole. Might as well poison the streams. Do you see how it works? I'm trying to show you that sometimes they're so far ahead of us in the curve that we feel like we're on flat road. Best wake up. Best wake up. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Apple is out with a new batch of iPods. A look at what's new and what's not next on Tech Tips 101.
Got a headache? The relief you need is speeding your way with Advil Liquid Gels.
Liquid fast.
Advil strong.
For tough headache pain, the Liquid Fast Pain Relief of Advil Liquid Gels is faster and stronger than extra strength Tylenol.
Liquid fast.
Advil strong.
Advil Liquid Gels are the only leading brand with real liquid inside. They rush relief right to where you need it. Find out what Liquid Fast Pain Relief can do for you. Advil Liquid Gels.
Liquid fast.
Advil strong.
Use as directed.
What do you do when your company's product is considered the industry leader? Well, you don't stand still, that's for sure. And that's exactly how Apple Computer is handling its role as creator of the industry-leading portable music player, the ubiquitous iPod. Apple recently announced several new models that offer a little more for your money. First up, the new 6GB iPod Mini. It has 50% more storage space than its similarly sized predecessor, which is now priced $50 cheaper. The new models in new colors cost $249, while the original 4GB lineup costs $199. Also new is the 30GB color-screened iPod Photo. This model replaces the 40GB model and costs just $349, a good price drop from the $499 of its predecessor. The top of the line remains the 60GB iPod Photo, which also saw a $150 price drop. It's still not cheap, but it's now more affordable for those who want to take their music and pictures to the same place. For Tech Tips 101, I'm Bob Bicknell.
When allergies come with sinus pain, my Claritin just doesn't have it.
My Benadryl doesn't have it either.
Even my prescription allergy medicines don't have it.
Only Advil Allergy Sinus has it. It's the first and only allergy medicine with the pain-relieving power of Advil. So you get allergy relief plus advanced medicine for sinus pain. That's two-way relief.
Now I know what all the others are missing. Advil for my sinus pain.
Advil Allergy Sinus. Don't just stop allergies. Stop allergies that hurt.
WWNR Beckley. Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620. WWNR Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
They lived happily ever after.
Another story.
Tiana, Daddy needs to finish his report.
What's your report about?
Well, in the land of work, the hero said, we can raise profits with better distribution.
Maybe really there. We'll know how much you care.
See, that was such a good story.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. Well, after increasing clouds, we peaked in the mid-60s earlier. We're headed for partial clearing tonight and our part of West Virginia around 41 early on Friday. Cloudy with occasional rain in the afternoon, nothing severe, nearly a quarter of an inch expected as we get up to 53. As Saturday looms, rain will be likely again with highs cooler in the low 40s and look for a few showers, maybe a couple of snowflakes with 40s for highs on Sunday.
It's your second hour of the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Bob Part 2, assistant producing over here with the inimitable John Kepi and doing it. Did you hear that? Just a crackerjack job. All right, what shall we call this segment of the program? How about the Children's Hour? pretty much fresh off the wires out of Buffalo, New York. 15-year-old boy who had shown strong interest in the Columbine school shootings has been arrested for allegedly plotting to blow up his high school. The high school sophomore had assembled bomb-making materials, including gunpowder and fuses, and a search of his home showed that the boy was seemingly fascinated with the Columbine massacre. That according to officials. I love those anonymous officials. Authorities, also anonymous, found downloaded autopsy reports on Columbine shooters Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, crime scene photos, and pictures of the weapons. The young man was arrested on March the 23rd. He described his plans and his fascinations with other students who turned him in. Oddly enough, the young man also wrote an essay for his English class this year suggesting Klebold and Harris were rebelling against an oppressive atmosphere. Obviously, I'm concerned. I knew the students, said Jeffrey Hicks, superintendent of the 3900 school district. The arrest came 2 days after the shooting in Minnesota, which took, what, 4 or 5 days for George Bush to even know had taken place. Beautiful. And then this, this isn't just the children's hour. This is one of those Republican family values updates. This is from the Orlando Sun, South Florida Sun Sentinel. Has to do with a young man named Stephen Soper. Have you seen this one? Stephen Soper, for a couple of years, dated a young lady by the name of Stacy Silvera. She was 18 years old. He was 18 years old. They both were young teenagers in love there in Lake Worth, Florida. But it came apart last fall. The relationship sort of headed south. It was late October, and Stacy Silvera told Stephen Soper that she, being an 18-year-old and going to the polls for the first time, that she planned on voting for John Kerry. This apparently did not sit well with Stephen Soper. Soper pleaded guilty yesterday to false imprisonment, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, battery, and resisting arrest without violence. The kid got 90 days in jail, followed by 5 years of probation and 100 hours of community service. What happened? Well, after Stacy Silvera told Mr. Soper that she planned on voting for John Kerry, Soper kind of came unglued. I guess he'd been watching too many Swift Boat filth ads. He was seen by a neighbor of Stacy Silvera on October 26th, carrying her with her screaming, "No, no, no." He pulled a knife on Silvera, pointed it at her, and threatened to kill her. Apparently inside the house, based on a deputy's investigation, there had also been a struggle. There was some stuff scattered about, a couple of pots broken. And this fine young Republican lad dragged Stacy Silvera, kicking and screaming, into her house before throwing her to the floor and, here's some real Republican class, spitting on her. Then he hit her. He bit her and placed a knife in her hand and told her to kill him because a vote for Kerry would mean he would die anyway. Whew. Thank you, Karl Rove. And this guy had his life mapped out. He'd been accepted into the Army. He was going to enlist after graduating this spring from Santa Lucia's High School. He had a history, his family did, of serving in the military. And he flushed it all down the toilet because he bit in to the rotten, stinking lies of Karl Rove. He's dropped out of high school. He's working on his GED. He bit Stacy Silvera, put a knife in her hand, and told her to kill him because a vote for Kerry would mean he would die anyway. That from the family values crowd. That from the pro-life crowd. That from the support the troops crowd. False imprisonment, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, battery, and resisting arrest without violence. For that, he got 90 days in jail. For putting a knife to the throat of a young girl, he got 90 days in jail. For kidnapping a young girl, he got 90 days in jail. Now, where's the right wing? Where are they? Where's the law and order bunch? Oh, well, you know, the young Republican did it, so, you know, he must have had a good reason. The story here says he still hopes to join the military someday. Maybe they can introduce him to that man we were talking about last night who killed an unarmed Iraqi to, quote-unquote, put him out of his misery. They'd probably get along quite well together, don't you think? There are bad, bad problems in this country. And guess who's had control of the country for many years now? Are we still into the personal responsibility thing, or do we just write this off? Oh, well, it's just one of those bad apples. You know, get Donald Rumsfeld out. Ah, it was a dead ender. This kid only got 90 days in jail for this. You think Stacey Silvera will remember what Stephen Soper did to her for more than 90 days? You think she'll remember it for the rest of her life? 90 days. Slap on the wrist? Now, see, I don't share the punishment fetish that a lot of right-wingers do. But I think you need to get this kid's attention. And I don't know if 90 days in the county lockup does that. Well, let's take our quarter-hour break. When we come back, well, it's not all about bad Republican kids. Some Republican kids make good. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Promotions presents
the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Clubmeister Original Top Rack Contest, as seen on national TV.
Sponsored by 84 Lumber,
Hometown Subaru,
and Charter Media.
It's coming this Friday and Saturday through Beckley's Raleigh County Armory.
See up to 100 area men and women slug it out
with thousands in prize money and top man jackets.
Plus,
an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and play on national TV.
Good seats still available,
starting at just $12 for general admission.
Reserved at VIP ringside seats also available.
Get your tickets today at the Raleigh County Armory or any Ticketmaster outlet, including Kroger.
Charge by phone at 304-342-5757.
For additional information or to sign up,
call 1-800-296-3897.
That's 1-800-296-3897.
It's the 25th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Top Man Contest,
as seen on national TV.
Coming this Friday and Saturday night in Beckley's Raleigh County Armory.
Pop it out.
Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're talking lawn care with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, help! My lawn looks like a Dalmatian.
Well, if you're seeing spots, it sounds like you have a case of spring dead spot, a disease of Bermuda grass caused by Leptospira cori, sometimes in conjunction with other fungi. The disease rots stolons and roots. As a result, bright and dead spots develop as grass emerges from dormancy.
I guess a leash won't work. What else can I do to get it under control?
First, you can prevent spring dead spot by maintaining adequate potassium levels, meaning don't over-fertilize. Don't fertilize too late in the season, and don't let thatch build up more than 3/4 of an inch. If you already have dead spots, replace the soil and sod of the affected areas. Then apply a systemic fungicide in the late summer or early fall.
With those tips, I won't be seeing spots for long, Bill. Tune in next time to help keep your lawn green and growing.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got a break, and he's not afraid to use it. Literally, of course, here's Bob Kincaid.
Broadcasting live from the WWNR studio saunas. This is always a tough time of year when you turn the heat on, the day warms up, the room warms up, you turn the heat off. It's kind of warm in here. At any rate, like I said, not everything is bad news about Republican children. One of them done made good. This is out of today's New York Times. young man named Philip J. Perry. Fine young man, law school graduate, absolutely the joy of his parents' eyes. Philip J. Perry, well, he's the joy of his in-laws' eyes, too. Philip J. Perry, nominated as general counsel of the Homeland Security Department. That probably pays a tidy little sum. Yeah, maybe a couple of hundred large. Not sure. Not exactly beanie-weenie salary, I'm sure. Yeah, general counsel of the Homeland Security Department, in charge of overseeing 1,500 lawyers. And they work mostly on things like Coast Guard maritime laws, immigration. Now, he's coming to the post from the Washington office of the Latham and Watkins law firm. He was a partner there. Hey, he was also a lobbyist for, how do you like it, Lockheed Martin. One of the top 10 contractors for the Homeland Security Department. I'm sure that's just a great big coincidence. Before he went to Latham and Watkins, Philip J. Perry, fine young Republican man, or maybe not so young, was general counsel of the White House Office of Management and Budget. Before that, he was acting associate attorney general at the Justice Department. This guy knows how to get all 4 feet in the trough. Back in the year 2000, man, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? Mr. Perry was a functionary, a worker on the Bush-Cheney presidential transition team. You know, the transition team that looked at the Graham-Rudman report, or the Hart-Rudman report that said, you know, here pretty soon, some terrorist is going to attack our airports. Better do something about it. That report, yeah, he was part of the transition team that said, what's this? What about the tax cuts? Yeah, that transition team. He was also an advisor to Dick Cheney as he prepared for the vice presidential debates. I don't know, what did he teach Dick the scowl? Now, Mr. Perry also lobbied the Homeland Security Department. He lobbied the House Homeland Security Committee. All for that poor little skinny, almost anorexic-looking waif, Lockheed Martin, with its face pressed up against the frozen window pane, peering inward and praying for just another scrap from the congressional table. What he wanted the Congress to do, the scrap that he was particularly after, was a designation from Congress that some of Lockheed Martin's products were qualified anti-terrorism technologies. And you know what? Philip J. Perry is damn good. Because Lockheed Martin was among the first companies to win a qualified anti-terrorism technology designation and be approved for the sale of certain of its goods. This guy is a climber. Poison Ivy's climber, too, isn't it? Whatever. But in the last couple of years, thanks to the efforts of Mr. Philip J. Perry, Lockheed Martin and its partners have gotten hundreds of millions of dollars worth of contracts and commitments, including a contract to train airport security screeners for the Transportation Security Administration. Would that be the same Transportation Security Administration that's failed miserably in several tests? You know, Transportation Safety Administration screeners, the ones that let the radioactive material through on, from what, ABC News? Yeah, he faces confirmation in the Senate, Mr. Philip J. Perry. And of course, we know that's a foregone conclusion. Senate Democrats will run and play, you know, duck and cover and have an atomic blast drill thingy from the 1950s where they all put their heads between their legs and kiss their butts goodbye. And say, what, I subject to a Bush nominee? Shucks, no, we wouldn't want to do that. Why, that wouldn't be a showing of good bipartisan support for government. Who is Philip J. Perry, lobbyist extraordinaire, player on the transition team, ignorer of the Hart-Rudman report? Who is Philip J. Perry, this monumental climber within the Bush administration? Who is he? Let me share that with you. Mr. Philip J. Perry of Latham & Watkins, Mr. Philip J. Perry of the White House Office of Management and Budget, and Mr. Philip J. Perry is the kept husband of one Elizabeth... you saw this coming from a mile away, didn't you? He's the kept husband of one Elizabeth Cheney. Now, we will take a moment of silence for those of you who still have a shred of ethics and morality left about you and believe in concepts of non-nepotistic decent government to scream and tear at your hair for a little bit.
Ah! Whew!
Yeah. That's big-time Dick Cheney's son-in-law. Here's the best part of the whole story, for my money. A White House spokesman, Dana Perino, said Mr. Perry's nomination had nothing to do with his relationship. Well, I can't get through it. Dana Perino said Mr. Perry's nomination had nothing to do with his relationship to the Vice President. No, nothing, absolutely nothing. I mean, you know, it was down to a choice between Philip J. Perry and some guy that lived over a steam grate on D Street. Oddly enough, Philip J. Perry got the job. It was deemed that the guy living over the steam grate didn't have the sartorial sense that you would want for someone occupying the office of General Counsel to Homeland Security. According to Dana Perino, Ms. Perino said, the president nominates individuals he believes are the best qualified for the job to serve the American people.
The tears are coming out of my eyes.
Yeah, that's why Paul Wolfowitz got, oh my God, yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah, Paul Wolfowitz got confirmed as president of the World Bank today. In a related note, Bela Lugosi was posthumously confirmed to president of the World Blood Bank. Banking hours will henceforth be only on those days when the moon is full. Local boy makes good. Philip J. Perry, husband of Elizabeth Cheney.
Well, Bob, can't you give him some credit? At least that Cheney's had one daughter what wasn't a lesbian.
Oh, my God. Log rolling in our time.
Now, this ain't nepotism.
No. Now, mind you, if, say, Chelsea Clinton's husband had gotten a job as 32nd assistant to the deputy street sweeper of Poughkeepsie, New York,
we would have had congressional hearings. We cannot have this kind of palm greasing in Washington. The American people demand honesty in government.
Jesus. Put a lobbyist who sold... basically this is an Amway job. This guy sold stuff to Homeland Security, and he was so good at it, they're putting him in charge of all the lawyers who might at some point object to a sale by Lockheed Martin of a bunch of their garbage to Homeland Security. But never fear, Philip J. Perry will be right there to quash any dissent. Damn, I feel safer, don't you? I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. WNR News. Bond has been set for two men facing separate murder charges in Wyoming County. Andrew Halstead of Glen Fork was released from the Southern Regional Jail on $50,000 bond Tuesday. Halstead was originally charged with malicious wounding for running over Paul Curtis Sarton after an argument at a Glen Fork residence Saturday night. The charges were upgraded to first-degree murder after Sarton died at CAMC Sunday. David Hutchinson of Brenton remains in the Southern Regional Jail. He's charged with first-degree murder in connection with the Saturday morning shooting of Douglas Short of Glover. Police say the two men had had an altercation after Short's girlfriend and Hutchinson's wife had an argument inside a mini-mart. Witnesses say Short left the store. Hutchinson followed. They heard a gunshot and saw Short lying on the ground and Hutchinson holding a gun. The West Virginia Division of Highways has awarded the largest single contract in state highway history. A Chicago firm has been selected to construct a nearly $120 million bridge over the Ohio River near Parkersburg. The bridge will complete the four-lane upgrade of Route 50 from Clarksburg to the Ohio line. The route was one of the original 23 Appalachian corridors, which were selected in 1965 under the Appalachian Development Highway System. A surplus of diet food for the overweight is feeding hungry people in Appalachia. Unsold crates of low-carb energy bars, shakes, and breakfast mixes have been pouring into the Christian Appalachian Project in Paintsville, Kentucky. They will be distributed in mountain communities. Since September, the charity has received 14 truckloads of food from Atkins Nutritionals, the New York company famous for their low-carb diets. And a Nicholas County woman and two Fayette County residents have been arrested for operating a meth lab. Officials from the Somersville Police Department, Nicholas County Sheriff's Office, and the Central West Virginia Drug Task Force received information the three had bought items used in making meth. They are Terry Hess of Mount Lookout, Tyson Kincaid of Mendon, and Crystal Workman of Pax, all being held in the Central Jail, or Central Regional Jail, on $50,000 bond. That's the news. Now the forecast for this evening, partly cloudy. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 42. And then for tomorrow, periods of rain, mostly late in the afternoon with a high near 60. Rain tomorrow night and much colder, low near 36. Then for Saturday, periods of showers, windy and cold. Saturday's high near 45. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Excuse me while I throw up. I'm nauseated by the disgusting treatment that the Bushites keep giving to the troops they publicly profess to love. Troops that they are all too willing to use for their own political purposes. We've learned about the Pentagon's deadly failure to provide body and vehicle armor for the troops in Iraq, about the Bushites' shameful efforts to keep America's wounded soldiers out of the public eye and even to deny them health care, about the sickening stonewalling by the White House and Pentagon brass so the entire blame for prisoner torture falls on a few lowly grunts. But the scandals just keep coming. How about Tourniquet Gate? Just when you thought your disgustometer could not register any higher, it's now been revealed that troops in Iraq are being sent into the hell of battle without something so simple and life-saving as tourniquets to apply when wounded. This small, inexpensive item is no small thing to our soldiers. The Army estimates that tens of thousands of U.S. fighters are in combat without tourniquets. Officials now concede that untold numbers have bled to death from injuries that would not have been fatal if a tourniquet had been applied. Apparently, the Pentagon chiefs have not placed an order for first aid kits containing tourniquets because, get ready to barf, they have not yet developed training manuals and a pouch for carrying the tourniquets. Here's another scandal. While hundreds of private companies and state governments have stepped up to pay the difference between the low military wages that reservists and National Guard members are getting in Iraq and the higher pay they got in civilian life, one big employer has not stepped up. The federal government. The Bushites have exempted themselves from doing what's right for these troops on the ground that it could cost too much. This is Jim Hightower saying, why are the White House and Pentagon so lackadaisical about providing our soldiers the basic support they need and deserve? Shouldn't support our troops be more than a political phrase?
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the back.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
A man who just loves conservatives. Baked, boiled, or... Here's Bob Kincaid.
He's a new-fashioned imperialist. He may not have a mill, but he has a lot of grits. Chinese convict labor will manufacture this. He's a new-fashioned imperialist.
Welcome back. 22 and a half minutes before 9 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob. The phone number, if you want to get in on all this, well, the joys of back scratching, if you will. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. I have blathered on enough. Let's go to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, you're Head On.
Well, you have gone on enough.
Well, you know, there's so much.
What are you going to do?
There's so much out there.
Yeah. God, yes, there is.
Yeah, I'm just so happy for Philip J. Perry I could spit.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was spit.
Yes.
Yes.
I want to go back to an earlier statement about the chamber.
Yeah.
I was listening to something. You said something about the chamber.
Well, the usual kind of tired of having them, you know, slander the state that I love.
And you'd like to tell them.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the deal.
Okay.
A group that I'm invested in.
Mm-hmm.
Is what we belong to the chamber.
Oh, yeah?
And we bought a table for this dinner coming up. I think it's towards the end of April.
Oh, do tell.
I'll let you tell. Would you be our guest?
Oh, I would be thrilled, honored.
Would you share our table?
Absolutely. Might even get the tux out.
Might even... Oh. I don't know if that'll... You know, come on. I don't want to, you know. I got one.
You just don't want to wear it.
I wore it for a while. And, you know, that didn't bring me a whole bunch of luck. You know.
It's the tuxedo of doing.
Yeah, well, I mean. But I'm serious about this dinner.
Oh, yeah, I'd be happy to go.
I want to go, you know. Here's the deal. And, you know, I thought about, well, how should I say this? So I figure I'll just say it. There was this disagreement over a project and as to whether or not it should be prevailing wage or
Right.
You know. And what I think of, well, the side I stand for prevailed.
Yes.
In that argument.
Yeah, the side of right and decency and honesty and light and goodness.
There's nothing that you just said I wouldn't disagree with.
Right.
I want to have a discussion about that. I don't want it to go, okay, oh, well, you won, shut up, blah, 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 we'll forget about it. And then, a year from now, be attacked by the same thing, the same lies, the same propaganda, the same untruths. I want to have the discussion now.
Yeah.
You know, we're all adults. You guys are business, we're labor, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's a chicken and egg argument as to which came first. But the reality of the matter is one does not exist without the other. There is common ground that can be reached. Only, you have to be reasonable.
Yeah, and
you have to give up some of your greedy tendencies.
Yeah, and you have to be willing to look for it.
Yeah.
You can't wait for the common ground the playing field to just shift a little bit more until all the common ground shifts over to your side.
Well, yeah, and the worst part, nobody wants to talk about it. They don't want to face it. We can't have, the discussion has to happen. It's the same thing that Dr. Bill's talking about on his show with the Harry Schiavo thing.
Yeah.
You know, the discussion of what we have to have that discussion. So, anyway, I'm inviting you to be our guest.
Well, just, I'll be there. You tell me when it is.
Okay, well, I'll tell you tomorrow night.
Okay, that'll be fine.
The invitation, well, we got the thing. I believe it's towards the end of the month.
And, well, you've got more experience in this than I do, Wayne. How close an identification is there between the local chamber and this U.S. chamber that's running all these full-page ads in the Gazette?
I don't know. I think Steve Roberts, is that his name?
Yeah.
Head of our chamber, he's probably in sync with those people. I believe that 90 or 95% of the members aren't involved. Or don't know what's going on, or haven't been asked their opinion.
Because the U.S. Chamber, Wayne, is made up, as far as I can tell from my research, largely of banking interests, insurance interests, energy interests.
Right, and then they prey on all these small business people that, oh, well, if you're part of us, we'll put your little name in this book and da-da-da-da and charge you a lot of money, but you're not represented.
No, I mean,
ask what your opinion is about,
it's classic taxation without representation sort of a situation.
Right. You got it.
Because, mom and pop's carryout might be a member of the chamber, but odds are mom and pop might like to hang on to their rights to hold an insurance company to account. Because if mom and pop get lowballed by a third party insurer, that can put mom and pop out of business in a hurry.
It certainly can. That's exactly right. I mean, that's a real silly argument. Third party bad faith?
Yeah, but I.
How can people even.
Wayne,
about giving.
I heard the governor today, and, he's very convincing. He said, by golly, I'm putting money in people's pockets.
But no, he isn't.
Well, $8.
I'm not saying that he doesn't believe that. Maybe he believes it. If he does believe it.
Well, maybe somebody hasn't divided 8 into 100 for him, or 12 into 100 and come up with 850 or whatever. That's the money that's going into my pocket. That's not even covering the daily increase in gasoline costs.
I mean, but says who? These people have such a monopoly. I mean, they claim that, I don't know, I read something, third-party bad faith costs us $167 million. If you eliminate them, we'll give you $50 million.
Well,
wait a minute.
Well, not just that. John, can you fire up the calculator real quick? Because I'll never do this between now and midnight. $167 million divided by
1.8 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I don't know how many are insured.
But you see the math I'm getting at?
Yeah.
I don't.
And that won't occur anyway. How do you know that, you know?
Well, again, I don't like doing business with somebody I don't trust without a written contract. And I haven't seen anything go into writing.
No, and where is the demand? Show us your books.
Right.
And, you know, prove to us.
Okay, no, here's the math I want to do. I want to divide, you said, third-party bad faith cost insurance industry, $168 million a year.
Something. It's around there.
Yeah, well, there were 128 third-party bad faith suits filed last year.
Okay.
So we need to divide 168 million by 128. Now, I'm guessing that's going to be about $1 million per third-party bad faith case.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, close.
That means that every single one of those cases filed was a drop-dead winner all the way to a jury trial?
Yeah, I guess so.
It didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen. None of it happened.
I mean, it's like waking up from a bad dream. You know, it takes a minute, but you turn the light on and you get a little sip of water or whatever, and you kind of shake your head and go, oh, it didn't happen. It wasn't real. That night, you know, the monster chasing me in my sleep wasn't the real deal. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I do.
$167 million or $168 million a year divided by 128 lawsuits. We don't have, no, that doesn't happen.
None of it, no. That's exactly. Yeah. These people have no, I don't understand how, but everybody falls for this. Well, they fall for it because they don't understand. You know, even you told me because I didn't understand it, what third party bad faith means.
Okay, our results are in, Wayne.
Uh-oh.
In order for $167 million to have been paid out by the insurance industry in third-party bad faith in West Virginia last year alone, given the fact that there were only 128 of these things filed, each one of those cases must have been worth $1,321,500.
Okay. Well, we already know that...
That didn't happen.
Two-thirds of those cases were thrown out almost immediately or something. I don't know.
Well, 128 cases didn't go to a jury.
Oh, that didn't go to a jury.
Well, I mean, it's statistically impossible. 128 cases filed and 128 go to a jury. It doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Well, that's what I'm saying, that two-thirds of those never went any further than being filed.
Some of them never got served, got dismissed on
whatever.
Motion, summary judgment. Settled out of court. And you know what? If they're including settled out of court in that discussion, then that means that, you know, they're partially to blame for it. Because they acknowledged by their settlement, without acknowledging in writing, mind you, that they were at fault. They said, you know, we're going to pay up and you shut up. And this all goes away. So that means they knew they had done, you know, inside their dirty black little hearts, they knew they had done...
They were saving money.
They were saving money, and they knew that they had done something dirty and wrong.
Do you know where this thing is now? The bill?
Yeah, it was... last I checked, it was in House Judiciary as of the hearing that was held Tuesday night.
Right. Okay. It'll be interesting.
Do we know who's on the House Judiciary Committee?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Anybody we know?
A couple of people. In this day and age, you don't know who to count on anymore.
Well, no, you don't. In some cases, people will tell you, hey, I hate this bill. This is bad for West Virginians. And the next thing you know, they're voting for it.
Well, you're right, Bob. And, I mean, there are so many things. I forget who's the guy from the Eastern Panhandle. Michael, is it Michaels?
Harold Michaels. Hardy County?
Yeah. That's kind of tapped into the governor's contingency fund, like it's his own little...
No, see, that's not a tap. That's a beer siphon.
That's right.
That's not a tap. That's like a garden hose full. That's a fire hose full of beer. That's not a siphon.
Okay, all right. That guy.
Yeah.
Isn't that Harold Michael?
Yeah, Harold Michael, Hardy right. County.
So a supposed Democrat?
Yeah. A very well-heeled one at that.
Oh, yeah.
Got himself a mausoleum. Isn't there a cemetery in Hardy County with a mausoleum with his name on it or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So the people of the state of West Virginia are into financing cemeteries now?
No, you know, he is, I guess. I don't know. It's amazing. A lot of things have to be straightened up there.
Well, I mean, there's that. There's the barbecue pit for the high school. And God knows, I'm the last guy to criticize...
A $30,000 van for the soccer team, I think.
Yeah. I'm the last guy to criticize that kind of stuff, but, you know, I'd love to have all those... I'd love to have a new barbecue pit myself, but, you know, I got to take care of the phone bill, the water bill, and the power bill this month, and groceries and gasoline, and we'll worry about the barbecue pit later.
Yeah.
Is it crazy of me to think that we would expect that same kind of fiscal responsibility from our government?
No, it is not.
Listen to the liberal here.
Yeah, and well, but I'm sorry, people, you have to be responsible.
Yeah.
You have to be responsible. That's one of the rules.
Sure, I mean...
And if you're not, then we don't need you. I don't care, you know, you call yourself a Democrat or a Republican or liberal. I don't care what you call yourself.
Yeah,
if you're not responsible, I don't really need you here.
Yeah, we know, for instance...
Right, I don't hate you or anything like that. Just go away.
Yeah, we got 71,000 disabled people and children and elderly people about to be literally kicked into the streets over the Medicaid cuts.
Right. Oh, that brings up a...
That's $156 million. Now, how bad do we need the van?
Right. But listen, that brings up another point that somebody was talking about earlier today about how some... legislators, senators and legislators, had proposed using the new, if it happens, gambling money from the table games to take away the food tax or to get rid of some of the gas tax. And all the Democrats wouldn't allow that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, the person that, you know, said all these things, I just want to explain to them, that's called politics. See,
yeah.
The realization is with the cuts coming from the federal government, who this person voted for, there is no way that, you know, we can take any taxes away. I mean, what's Medicare going to be cut? $156 million?
Yeah, in this state.
Just for West Virginia.
Right.
And that doesn't count. I don't know how many other programs are going to be cut, or, you know, going to be cut. So the Republicans know that. So the Democrats want to pass this bill for the gambling for the four counties that they can decide and all that stuff. The Republicans propose this thing that they know cannot pass. And if it would pass, they wouldn't vote for it themselves. You know, if they were trying to be physically, you know, you got to keep the money coming in to run the business.
Yeah, fiscally sober.
Exactly. So that's called politics, and that's what Russ Weeks and Snidely Whiplash and that whole crew have done.
Slick Vic.
Slick Vic, yeah. There you go. But
well, it is all that, and it was, you know, it was some of those amendments had nothing to do with the good of the people of West Virginia, and everything to do with trying to derail this in the first place, because some of these right wing nut Republicans are wholly owned subsidiaries of West Virginians who know better than you.
Right.
You know, the West Virginia nannies for life or whatever they are, the nanny staters. You know, I still say sometimes we approach this from the wrong angle, though, Wayne. I want to know if it's good enough for four racetracks in West Virginia, why isn't it good enough for Raleigh County?
Oh, I think it will. Well, eventually, don't think for a minute that the Greenbrier isn't planning something here.
Oh, I know, but I wish we had a little forward thinking in this county. Get it? Forward thinking. where, you know, I mean, it's this is the juncture of a lot of, this is the, I mean, what, the Turnpike, 64, 77, 19, they all come together right here, with particular emphasis on 19, because it's almost halfway between Canada and Myrtle.
Yeah, and there's definitely the road to Florida.
Yeah, and you put the big casino up here, and you build the golf courses and the swimming pools, and yada, 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 and the casino, and the fine dining establishments.
Well, you know what my critics would say, Bob?
What?
As long as it's prevailing wage, he'll be for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, I'm talking about private enterprise, though.
Yeah.
But,
oh, well, yeah, but that's all right. As long, you know, they should sign a project labor agreement.
Right.
Those private enterprise people.
Exactly.
You can be private if you want. Go
sure.
ahead.
But, I mean, think about the jobs that would generate. And, you know,
well, it would generate, you know.
And we want those Canadian, you know, why let the Canadians get through here? I'm not trying to be mean. I love Canadians. But why let them just shoot through here? Let's fleece them a little on the way. Dude. Let's get some of that beach money before they get there.
Well, they're just going to go give it to somebody in Florida or off the coast of, you know, South Carolina, I guess. Yeah, you know.
Right.
How far out? What do you got to go? 13 miles or something?
You know, stop here and have the time of your life. Exactly. Backpack, mountain, hike,
mountain bike. And if you lose all your money, you're not that far away from home.
We got a bus station. Probably goes all the way to Windsor, Ontario.
There you go.
You know, you come down here in a $20,000 car, you go home in a $75,000 bus.
Hey, there you go. Only thing is, you don't get to keep it.
Exactly.
Right. And, well, I don't know, maybe we could get the courtesy patrol involved in that.
Sure.
There you go.
I mean, how many of these Canadian tourists are going to go to Charlestown? Nitro, cross lanes.
Beckley, they have to come through Beckley.
Bingo. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's why they call it a turnpike. You know, the pike stays down until you pay and we turn it out of the way.
There you go.
Yeah. Stop it, little hillbilly heaven in the woods. Put the number on red. No, black. No, red. Well, whatever. You lose. Give it the money.
Is there a blue?
Wayne, we're out of time, man.
All right, pal.
And thanks for the invite.
All right. Yeah, I'm serious about it.
I am too.
Okay.
Later.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Bye. See ya. Okay, time for a news update. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. Hold on a minute. Get over here.
I'm Boston King.
See how that works.
Feed your bulbs this spring. Hello, I'm Peter Strauss with today's Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro, makers of Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed, a continuous-release plant food that feeds for 3 months. Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. Shake a little, grow a lot. I love seeing the first crocuses and snowdrops pushing their heads up through the snow. It means that spring can't be too far behind. In fact, these flowers are often called the first harbingers of spring. You might even be seeing bigger bulbs like daffodils and tulips starting to poke their green tips through the soil. When that happens, it's time to get your plant food ready. You see, feeding spring flowering bulbs now is vital to their well-being and growth in the future. To give bulbs a proper feeding, look first for a balanced plant food. Check the label for one that says 10, 10, 10. This means the food has equal amounts of the nutrients spring bulbs need. Bulbs like tulips tend to be very heavy feeders, so use a broadcast application of dry food as soon as the foliage appears. Keep in mind that all spring flowering bulbs should also be fed immediately after they finish flowering. That's when they're starting to make and store food for next year's flowers. Deadhead the blooms as they're fading, but don't remove the green foliage until it turns yellow or brown. If you remove the green too early, the bulb won't get all the nutrients it needs, and it could affect the quality of the coming year's blooms. I know next spring may seem far off, but trust me, feed your bulbs this spring, and you'll enjoy beautiful big blooms next year. If you're looking for great results in your garden without a lot of work, try Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. It shakes on dry in just a few minutes and then feeds your plants continuously for 3 months. It's the quickest, easiest way to get Miracle-Gro results. I'm Peter Strauss for Miracle-Gro.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. Independent office. News Talk 620. WWNR. Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
They lived happily ever after.
Another story.
Tiana, Daddy needs to finish his report.
What's your report about?
Well, in the land of work, the hero said, we can raise profits with better distributions.
Were you really there? They'll know how much you care.
See, Fleet, that was such a good story.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Well, after increasing clouds, we peaked in the mid-60s earlier. We're headed for partial clearing tonight at our part of West Virginia around 41 early on Friday. Cloudy with occasional rain in the afternoon. Nothing severe, nearly a quarter of an inch expected as we get up to 53. As Saturday looms, rain will be likely again with highs cooler in the low 40s. And look for a few showers, maybe a couple of snowflakes with 40s for highs on Sunday.
WWNR Beckley,
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back, 6.5 minutes after 9 o'clock. John was kind enough to call up tomorrow's agenda for the House Judiciary Committee. I didn't see anything on there about the third-party bad faith bill, did you? I'm guessing that's one that we get about 2 minutes before midnight on the last day. Yeah, we know how these guys operate. The phone number is 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Jeff is with us. Hey, Jeff, you're head on. Yeah, there you are.
Hey, how are you? Is that you?
And no one else.
The table games will come up after the bad faith.
Right.
That's the way it's going to work. If they have the bad faith to Bob Kiss, it's more important than a table game, so we got to do it Bob's way.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily more important. I think...
That's what he said.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I missed that.
He was on, too, this morning.
Okay, that must
did
have been...
Did you hear him?
No, that must have been before I got into range.
Before Joe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if there's any time left, that they'll take it on. But
I got to confess, I'm loyal. I listened to us till I lost us.
Well, I am too, but the thing they got on us is them guys can just drop in and out on them all day long, every day. You know what I mean?
Well, that's because they're a known quantity, and they're during the legislative session, they're set up to do remotes down there.
Yeah, they're in the Capitol.
Yeah. I mean, you could hear all the background
noise.
Oh,
yeah, we did talk to Bob Kiss. Now here comes the governor. Let's have, see what he's got to say. You know, that'd be pretty nice, wouldn't it?
Well, we're growing. Of course,
I'm trying to help you.
I know. I just, you know, right now, I don't think, if you heard the governor, it wasn't exactly a tough cross-examination.
Well,
you know, all I heard Hoppy say was, boy, Joe, you're sure ginned up, you know.
Well, I think that the governor should be treated with a certain amount of respect.
Well, sure. And, he's been on this show, and I was perfectly nice to him and would be in the future. But, you know, this trading away your constitutional rights for $8 a month and gasoline going up by
it's $8 per vehicle.
Okay, great. You know, you got two vehicles.
Let's just make sure we...
$16 a month.
Yeah. But, so we can't afford to cut any taxes in West Virginia right now.
After what we did with the comp bailout, I think you could make a credible argument that no, we can't.
Well, they just cut tax on coal and
on natural gas and timber. No. It's on us. We can't. It's on us that we can't afford to cut any taxes.
But we can cut tax on other people.
Yeah, because their reasoning behind that, Jeff, is, you know, it's because we raise the taxes that we have to lower them. It makes my head hurt. Don't know about yours.
Well, they can't afford to cut tax. They're going to cut tax on who they want to cut tax on.
they're going to cut tax on the people who have the appropriate lobbying groups.
And it's not us.
That would be yes.
You know, they could, that food tax failed 21-13.
Mm-hmm.
And two Republicans voted with the Dems and two Dems voted with the Reds. If that would have passed, if there was table games in West Virginia, we'd have got part of our food tax taken off. It could have happened. The Dems blocked.
Now, that was designed to kill the table games, because had it passed, it would have killed it.
Well, so, you know, you give and you take. That's politics. That's bargaining. That's working in those types of governing bodies. You know, if you want table games, fine.
No, but
you get your piece.
Jeff, you see,
what we want.
We don't have the muscle or the will or the gumption or the guts. You know, we don't stand up to gaming interests. We don't stand up to timber interests. We don't stand up to oil and gas interests. We don't stand up to coal interests. We don't stand. You know.
You mean we can't have none of that table games money for food tax relief?
No.
Why?
Because we don't stand up to the industry.
But
there's only one industry.
Who didn't stand up in that vote? The Republicans stood up.
The Republic. You got Jeff.
Come
please.
On, Bob.
No, Jeff. Please understand. That vote was. It was a known quantity. What it was going to be before the vote was ever taken.
That's
okay.
Right, because everybody
that,
knows.
Because that and that way.
That table games money lose.
No, because what the Republicans had no intention of supporting a table games bill. It was pure political grandstanding and showmanship.
The Democrats are going to try to push the games through. They're going to keep the money, and they're going to invest it in failed ventures, just like Stonewall Jackson, so Brooks McCabe's little management company can have more things to make money on.
Well, now, hold your horses on Stonewall Jackson. I remember when people like, well, not you but necessarily, but people like you were screaming, "Oh, that Tamarack boondoggle's going to bleed us dry."
That wasn't state money. That was turnpike money.
Of course it was, but the whole point here was that it was naysaid all the way until it made a buck. You know, the Stonewall Jackson thing has a chance of making money, but you know what? Babies don't come out, babies aren't born running.
But you think that they should be able to take that money and do with, most of the lottery money gets wasted. You know, and most of that table games money is going to get wasted unless they can spend it better than me and you can. That's what you're saying, Bob? You don't want
No, that's
it.
Not what I'm saying, Jeff. That's not what I'm not what I'm saying at all.
Well, what are you saying?
What I'm simply saying is that as far as the table games are concerned, that they have an idea already where the money is going to be dedicated. You know, just like theoretically the lottery money is dedicated to seniors and tourism and you know the drill.
Yeah.
Now, where do they want to dedicate the table games money?
Where?
No, where?
Yeah, where?
You're following this.
I am.
Where are they planning on dedicating the table games money?
Oh, I'd say to pay off these bonds that they're going to try to push through the 25th of June. I guess.
Yeah.
But I understand. The Democrats are in control.
No. Do you understand that? Do you understand the showmanship behind the 13 Republican votes or whatever in the Senate? Do you understand that before the votes are ever cast, they're already counted? That's what whips are for.
Mm-hmm.
The whip knows what the vote count will be before the vote is taken.
But see, John Yoder was running around rallying against it. We talked a lot about it before we had the vote. If John Yoder would have said, "Hey, that sounds like a really good idea. You know, Virginia just lowered its food tax and put all of our border counties along the border at a bad disadvantage. That sounds like a good idea. We want to be, like our governor says, open for business. Let's take the table games money, reduce this food tax, get more jobs and businesses going in West Virginia, and the increased payroll that we can collect state taxes on will help pay down the debt that we're going to bond out.
You got to understand, Jeff, that open for business means open for business with coal companies, open for business with timber interests, open for business with oil and natural gas, open for business with insurance companies. That's what it means, open for big business.
I understand that, but I'm still pushing. I want tax relief, and that's what I'm. That's my special interest group is me and people like me, and that's what I'm doing on here talking. And I think that getting rid of that food tax, my God, helping us out on our gasoline tax, that's a lot better idea with that table games money.
It might be.
Turning it loose to Brooks McCabe and Harold Michael, don't you think?
Well, I've got a story sitting right in front of me, Jeff, about the Stonewall Jackson business. Brooks McCabe, he's a pretty stand-up guy. I know it. He's a pretty straight shooter. If he tells you he'll do something, he generally does it. And he says he'd be more than happy to leave McCabe-Henley Properties if it would settle the debate about the infusion of funds into Stonewall Jackson.
Well, then he should go. Well,
if he is called on to do it, he will. The set aside, you got to remember, Jeff, the set aside of the money for Stonewall Jackson, that bill. Now you're hollering conflict of interest. How do you deal with the fact that McCabe abstained from the vote?
But he kind of talked and wanted them to do that, though. He talked for it. He just didn't vote for it.
Well,
he debated on the floor.
That happens all the time in the Republican Congress in Washington. I haven't heard anything out of you complaining about that.
Well,
I had it here earlier, Jeff. The son-in-law of the vice president just got a cherry-picked plum job as general counsel to Homeland Security. If that's not nepotism, if that's not influence peddling, I don't know what is.
I know.
Here's your chance.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Blast you some Republicans too. I mean, you know, we're scattershotting with the double barrel here.
Well, but we had another caller that was talking about, you know, the food tax.
Look, I don't think there's anybody in the state that wouldn't like to get rid of the food tax. God knows I would.
Well, then how come didn't we just do it?
We had
our chance.
How come third party bad faith got through the Senate?
Because Democrats voted for it.
Because Joe told them to.
Joe
this
told
is the most
not to vote for the food tax.
Yes, this is the most servile, greased up legislative session I have ever seen.
He delegates to them what he wants.
Yeah,
they don't submit stuff to him. He submits to them.
Yeah, it's rolling downhill on this one.
I understand, but
I find it offensive. But what I'm concerned about is this idea that you're willing to be snowed and believe that, like I said, the Republicans knew, Jeff, what the vote was going to be on the table games bill before they ever offered any amendments.
Well,
I mean, please work with me on this, all right?
I understand what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying they knew what the vote was going to be on the amendment. They knew what the vote was going to be on the entire bill before they offered any. They knew they were licked, and this was pure showmanship and grandstanding.
Well, I mean, the fact is they are on record as being against trying to vote down the food tax. You know, and when a bill comes up like that, part of being a politician is you got to know how to vote. If a bill comes up that you can give the people that you represent, the people you're supposed to love and care about, a break on their taxes before you cast that vote, you've got to think.
Okay.
Well, I'm running for election here pretty soon again, and I'm going to have to stand.
Right, so you understand it's politics. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the grand and glorious Senator Weeks-minded. Where was he on the severance tax on coal? What did he say?
The comp bill?
Yeah.
He voted against that.
No.
He voted against to do the comp thing.
He came out in
because it was going to let the power companies pass it right on.
He came out opposed to the increase in the severance tax, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
He came out in favor of a payroll tax.
But he voted against the bill we ended up getting.
Right.
You don't like Hatfield, do you?
Political grandstanding.
I understand.
The man came out and said he would rather tax your paycheck than have his... You want to talk about a conflict of interest? His family's all tied up with Massey.
Well, listen, none
and service industries to Massey.
Now, wait a minute.
No, I'm giving you your chance, Jeff. Okay. Hammer him, too. Get him with some of your scattershot.
Well, none of them march lockstep with every type of thought that I have. I've never seen nobody.
I don't know. With the possible exception of an identical twin, odds are, no, you're not going to get any of that. But you're sitting here talking about the food tax, Jeff. For God's sakes, wait a minute, because Russ Weeks wanted to dip into your paycheck.
Mm-hmm. And I was against him. I never heard him saying that. I didn't catch that, which I'm not saying that you're making it up.
He said, I would rather see a payroll tax.
Well, I disagree with that. And if I'd heard him say it, I'd have called you and told him.
And he was a lot more sincere about that than he was about the food tax.
But issue for issue... I want rid of that food tax.
Well, I do, too. And the question is, you talk about the table games. Was there sufficient anticipated revenue from the table games taxation?
Well, what you do...
To replace the food tax?
Did you say, let's first year, we're not sure what this is going to bring. Let's do 3 and 3. We're going to get rid of 3 and keep 3 and see what it does. And after the first year, if you don't have enough, you go back up to 4. If you have more, you drop it down to 2, 1, and none, hopefully.
Now, remember...
Half and half first year.
Now, remember that gaming industry has a hell of a lot more powerful lobby than you do.
Right. I understand.
So, coming back and doing anything the next year is almost utterly impossible.
Well, as long as you're still getting your same cut... They have no say over what you do with it.
Oh, and by the way, just another little news flash I found out today. Our Clean Elections pilot project.
Yeah.
Play taps. It's dead. It's dead because it got held up in the House. And
we're all in on it.
And then it died in the Senate. But one of the chief opponents of it was none other than Virginia Mann.
Well, I understand Brent took a lot. Brent got the money from Blankenship, but, Warren got the trial lawyer money, and Joe Manchin got all the State Farm insurance money.
Well, you're comparing apples and oranges between Brent's money and Warren's money. I mean, it's like $1 versus $7 or $1 versus $10.
Warren McGraw's war chest was a bigger war chest than Brent's.
Check again, because we're not talking about Brent's individual war chest.
That money got divided up among several people for the sake of the kids' money.
I'm talking about the direct contributions by Blankenship. Look at the advertising money spent. Go down and look at the forms or look at them online from the Secretary of State's office if they're up there and still available.
I've seen an article in the paper, the New York Times today, that talked about states are getting hooked on gambling revenue, and it said 3 or 4 states, over 10% of their money comes in from gambling, and then there was 5 states that was fast approaching 10%. We were one of them.
Well, you want to get rid of the food tax? A booming gambling industry might make that possible.
Well, I don't think we're ever going to get tax relief. No matter how much they get, it's never going to be enough.
I mean, the millage rate on your property in your individual counties is largely a function of county government.
Do what now?
I said the millage rate on your property taxes is largely a function of county government.
Mm-hmm.
So don't look to the state house for that.
The Harold Michaels, two counties. His two counties are 2 of only 7 in this state that don't have an excess levy bond. And I think that maybe it could be because he keeps...
Because they've got a walking, talking excess levy.
Who wonder what the process is for getting money from that fund. Does the governor have to sign off on
it? But it's kind of a Christian thing, ask and you shall be given.
So, really, you can ask for anything. But really, if it's a
a $10,000 pig cooker. If the governor okays it, he's kind of the idiot, isn't he?
Man, you know how I feel. Jeff, you know how I feel about barbecue. God, what
oh,
is
yeah,
it?
You like old...
What's a $10,000 pig smoker look like? Man.
It's probably... looks like... probably the gas tank on Dick Cheney's SUV.
No, it's funny though. There's a guy in the suburbs of Houston, used to be literally a rocket scientist with NASA down there.
Yeah.
And he took his engineering skills into the barbecue and smoker business. You can buy, probably for $10,000 or less. It's on wheels. It's got a hitch. It looks like a giant long neck beer bottle. The smoker unit is in the bottle part, and up in the neck part is insulated, and it's big enough around you can slide a keg into it, and it's refrigerated. It's like it's a Cadillac amongst them. I'd like to see the pig smoker. I really would. And you know, as long as we're fronting the mausoleum up there,
yeah.
I think every West Virginia should have a little cubby hole if they want to get cremated, right in the mausoleum.
The $5,000 for trout for the trout club that him and his wife is in. Yeah, you know, that contingency fund was supposed to be for emergency.
Well, isn't that the same fund that we used to refer to as the governor's rainy day fund? Is it the same fund?
Know. Is that the same thing? I don't think the contingency fund and the rainy day fund is the same thing.
Or is the contingency fund a cute and polite way of getting around what we used to complain about and call in terms of the budget digest money?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's just kind of something that we all just say, well, we'll put that money here and any little goodies. We'll pinch it out of there.
But by the same token, Jeff, you've got to understand that there are things that West Virginia needs in individual locations. Will you grant me that?
Necessities, sure.
I mean, you can't make everything useful to... I mean, theoretically, it should be useful to all West Virginians, but some things go in some counties and some things go in others.
Yeah. But it just depends what it is. I mean, if you got people in Hardy County that a flood comes through and wipes all their septic tanks out, or the city sewer system, or a school.
Or replacing a 30-year-old fire truck for a VFD.
Or part of half of the truck, go halves or something. I don't think that it should just be a welfare. But, you know, man, football, video equipment.
See, something happens to me with every legislative session,
Jeff.
Get
into a different realm with some of this stuff.
Yeah, you do. I start every legislative session full of hope, optimistic. You know, we're going to, you know, this time it's going to be different. This time it's really going to be different. And then, you know, by the time we hit about this phase of the legislative session, I realize we've been had again.
Well, just... You know,
and it's not, but the thing I want you to understand is you're not going to get any better out of turning this state over to a gang of people who are beholden to the pro-life crowd and the insurance crowd and the really hardcore conservatives. You're not going to do any better out of them.
Well,
I mean, if there's going to be a tax cut, it's going to be a Bush-style tax cut, and it's damn sure not going to go to Jeff.
Well. I don't think we'll ever get tax. I don't think we'll ever get tax relief.
There is a way to get tax relief in this state, Jeff.
The only way to get tax relief in West Virginia is to get a lot of people in here working, making a whole lot more money than we're making now.
Nope. The only way to get tax relief in this state, Jeff, is to start finding and running and electing progressive candidates. Because the progressives are the ones who talk about the, not the lip service family values, the real family values. The progressives are the only ones out there who are talking with any meaning or any sincerity about what it means to get your family from the first of the month to the last of the month on whatever it is you happen to make, and in the process trying to make it easier for you to do that.
well, you know, we just, you know.
I mean, do you think for a minute that Harold Michael's a progressive?
I think he's a liberal and a taker.
Hell no, he's not a liberal. Look at his voting record. Jumping Jehoshaphat.
I don't honestly know really a whole lot about him.
Liberals and progressives do not behave like 90% of the legislature behaves, Jeff.
I don't really know a whole lot about him. The only thing I know about him is what I've just been reading the last couple weeks.
He is pure entrenched power. And there's not a damn thing progressive about him.
Well, just when, you know, somebody said we couldn't cut no taxes in West Virginia right now, and I just remembered that we cut the timber and the gas tax. And let me run this by you. If that little lawsuit they got going passes to get the tax back on the coal that we're exporting,
mm-hmm.
how long will it be before natural gas and timber files the same suit? Once all
I don't know. I don't know if the tax code applies in equal measure in that regard.
It said you can't tax stuff that's exported out of state. It didn't say coal. It said anything.
Well, then
pretty soon timber's going to say.
timber's got it a little bit different because we haven't even bought. You know, that's one of the things Jim Lees was talking about last spring was the fact that we don't even bother to enforce the
timber,
the severance tax on timber.
Yeah.
Or that's what he was saying at the time.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you, Jeff. Later.
Thank you.
Please understand this. If you come away with this from this with nothing else, this state has been run by conservative, pro-business interests. I don't care if they call themselves Republicans or Democrats, but it has been run by those interests for over 100 years. Electing genuine, moss-backed, conservative Bush-style Republicans is only going to sink this state further. If you want to have a movement of the middle class, the way you change this state is by finding progressives. I'm sure sitting in the legislature right now, there are some people who would like to be progressives. But you have got to dig the diamonds out of the dung. And when you find those progressives, whether you're running them for the first time or whether you are identifying them in the legislature, I will bet you $1,000,000 to 1, not one of them will have R by his name or hers. You understand? If you understand what progressivism is, take a look around. See if you can find any. I want to know if you do. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The State Division of Highways has awarded the largest single contract in state history. A Chicago firm has been selected to construct a new $120 million bridge over the Ohio River near Parkersburg. The bridge will complete the four-lane upgrade of Route 50 from Clarksburg to the Ohio line. The route was one of the original 23 Appalachian corridors, which were selected in 1965 under the Appalachian Development Highway System. A Marine from Summersville, killed in Iraq last week, will be laid to rest on Saturday. Corporal Brian James Richardson died Friday during combat operations in the Al Anbar province. The 23-year-old was a graduate of Nicholas County High School and Glenville State College. He had a bachelor's in education. In addition to his parents, there are two brothers and a sister. Funeral service at 11 o'clock Saturday morning at Summersville Baptist Family Life Center. Burial will follow graveside rites by the U.S. Marine Corps Honor Guard at Spruce Grove Cemetery in Mount Nebo. Senator Rockefeller is urging law enforcement officials to start networking with police in other states that would lobby Congress against President Bush's budget cuts. Rockefeller met with law enforcement and elected officials at the State Police Academy in Institute this morning, and he says there's not much that can be done this year because the House and Senate have already passed their versions of the budget, which still need President Bush's signature. but Rockefeller says they can make a difference next year. Police and elected officials from Kanawha and Putnam counties begged Rockefeller to do something about a proposal that would cut about $6.5 million that West Virginia law enforcement agencies receive in federal grants. They say those cuts would devastate their ability to deal with an escalating methamphetamine crisis. Legislation is pending in the state legislature that would control over-the-counter medication and other items needed to manufacture methamphetamine. That's the news. Here's the forecast. This evening, partly cloudy. Tonight, partly cloudy. Low 42. Then for tomorrow, rain late in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high near 60. And then for tomorrow night, rain. It gets much colder. It turns windy. 36 for the low tomorrow night. Saturday, rain and chilly, with a high only near 45 on Saturday. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
It's time for the Beckley Rotary Club's Monte Carlo Night. It happens Saturday, April 9th, starting at 6:30 at Glade Springs Resort Conference Center. Come join us for a night of games, food, and a silent auction. Tickets are $50 per person. For tickets, just call 763-4720. 763-4720. All proceeds donated to Raleigh County Commission on Aging Adult Daycare Facility. Beckley Rotary Club's Monte Carlo Night, Saturday, April 9th, at Glade Springs Resort Conference Center.
This is America on the Road. Some people think imports are the only choice if you want a small car with the feel of a sports sedan. But the Ford Focus is out to change that notion. We'll tell you all about it next. Stay tuned.
The key to business success in today's information economy lies in a company's ability to manage and protect its most valuable asset, information. In a very real sense, a company is its information. Vital data exists within all departments of an enterprise: customer relations, personnel, sales, marketing, finance, and beyond. And like any valued corporate asset, this information requires protection. For the prudent IT executive, protecting the entire infrastructure and the information that resides in it goes beyond preventing virus attacks and network intrusions. A company must secure the organization and keep it up and running. Today's businesses keep information secure and available to the people who need it. For more information about managing and securing an IT infrastructure for your enterprise, visit itstrategycenter.com. IT Strategy Center is brought to you by Symantec.
This is Jack Murad. When it comes to fun-to-drive small sedans, cars like the Volkswagen Jetta, Honda Civic, and Mazda 3 come to mind. In other words, imports. But Ford is determined to change that impression with its Focus ZX4 ST. This is an American-built but internationally designed small sedan that offers a lot of sports sedan virtues, including sharp handling and a responsive engine. With all-independent suspension and beefy, low-profile tires on 16-inch alloy wheels, the ZX4 can hold its own with the import competition.
This is Mike Hansen. Of course, cargo space isn't going to win you much in the way of bragging rights. That's where the 151-horsepower dual-overhead cam four-cylinder engine comes in. Among normally aspirated cars, it's near the top of its segment, and it offers more peak torque than the Mazda 3, one of our top choices among small cars. The exterior styling, complete with rear wing, seems a bit busy to us, but the interior comfort was good, and we especially appreciated the suede seats and the giant trunk. We did, however, trip a bit on the as-tested price, nearly $20,000.
On our scale of 1 to 5, 4 tires and a spare, we rate the Ford Focus ZX4 ST a 4. And we'll have more next time right here on America on the Road from CBS Westwood One.
WWNR Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. Oh, about 20 minutes before 10 o'clock. Let's see. Just a few, couple of things to finish off the night with. A couple of things worth paying attention to. You know, last night we had the fella passing the obscene notes in church in, near Clarksburg. What was it? The Liberty Edition Church of God. I guess these things come in spates. I really hate this one. But in case you missed it today, Associated Press, Dateline Kingwood, Preston County. A former hospital volunteer who sexually abused a 4-year-old patient has now been convicted of sexually molesting 3 children he was babysitting in Preston County. Damn. I mean, this is just... 24-year-old Jonathan Fremont Ray was found guilty yesterday. Do the math on this as we go. 5 counts of first-degree sexual assault. 3 counts of first-degree sexual abuse. 5 counts of incest. Are you listening, legislators who are contemplating this parental notification abortion bill? Yeah. 5 counts of incest and 2 counts of sexual abuse by a parent, guardian, and custodian. Prosecutors alleged, and apparently the jury believed, that sometimes he tied the children down. And apparently it was pretty compelling evidence because it took the jury about an hour. I mean, that's not even time enough to brew coffee and get everybody a cup. They found that he sexually abused and assaulted 2 10-year-old boys and a 7-year-old boy repeatedly from 1998 through 2003. It all happened while he was babysitting at a Masontown mobile home and at a home in Newburgh. They did, however, dismiss a charge that he molested a 4-year-old girl. And he denied all the charges and said he had nothing to do with them. Meanwhile, back in November, he also pled guilty to first-degree sexual abuse in Mongalia County Circuit Court for molesting a 4-year-old boy who was a patient at Ruby Memorial Hospital in Morgantown. He was a volunteer on the pediatric unit. For that, he's serving a 1-5 right now. Like I said, I bring this up not for any particular reason, but I don't know. Just to try to drive home the point that you must be very careful with your children. And above all, for God's sakes, I don't know what the West Virginia sexual offender database address is, but most of you are pretty sharp with the search engine. Find it, learn it, know it, use it, tell your neighbors the address. Again, I'm all for, you know, you paid your debt to society, you come back to society and prove yourself worthy of being in civilized society. But everything I've read about this, these kinds of abusers, it's not sexual in nature. It is a power trip, and there's nothing particularly sexual orientation about it. It's about the children. It's about children, just like with the Boy Scout master. It was the Boy Scout executive, whatever he was, Smith out in Dallas. Just like this guy in Clarksburg or Easter Sunday. God, pay attention. please pay attention. Let's go back to the phone. Cherie is with us. Hey, Cherie, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
Okay, I guess. I hope people pay attention to this stuff.
Oh, I think they do. I mean, you know, even people who don't have children, I'm sure that they want to protect the innocent.
This is among the worst kind of offenses that we as humans, I think, can commit.
Well, you know, they do chemical castration.
Doesn't make any difference.
Well, but wait, let me finish. But see, I'm kind of old school. I believe in ice picking the brain and, you know, just go ahead and castrate them, really castrate them, and then hang the balls out on the town square.
I don't know if you can say that on family radio, but I think you just did.
Oh, sorry, guys. That's testicle.
I understand that. The question I have is with the science that's involved. They say that there's no, I mean, I've heard a lot of the experts on this say, you know, you cannot rehabilitate one of these people.
I don't believe you can. I think once they do it, they'll do it again.
Well, we've had proof of that in the last 2 days, haven't we?
Well, you know, when you look at your children, you're looking at the future. And I'm sorry, but I really don't care what these people's problems are. I really don't. Because when you hurt a child, you are hurting utter innocence.
You are. And there's another thing to be borne in mind here, Cherie, and that is there is a profound likelihood of individuals who've had it done to them
will continue the act.
And it's acting out. It is a vicious cycle.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you know.
I think back to what was Tony Arbaugh, the kid that was utterly abused by Brent Benjamin in the political campaign. Everybody made such noise about what he did to a couple of his siblings or cousins or whatever. You know, and it was heinous and it was awful. And
well,
it was in large part because it had been done to him by church people, by teachers, by family.
That's the whole point. When it's done to you, that's what counseling's for. That's what treatment is for, and it does take treatment. Now, if you're just that way, that's just pure evil.
Right.
There is a difference, because do you take everyone who has been molested and say, okay, sorry, you know, we're going to have to start chemically castrating you now.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Because you may end up, I don't believe in that train of thought.
No, I don't either.
But I believe that there are people out there.
The monsters,
who are
the predators.
Who are truly just bad people.
Monsters.
You know, that's an insult to the monsters. But they are truly base and nasty people. And, you know, if you're going to be that way, then you need to pay a price. I believe the families of the victims and the victims themselves should, you know, be the ones to do it.
Well, I dig it. I mean, he was convicted in November in Mon County Circuit Court, and he's doing a 1-5 for kiddie diddly.
If that was my child, I don't think he would have ever made it to court.
Well, maybe not, but you know, is it you know, in the middle of considering tongue splitting bills and movie video bills, you know, could we find time to maybe increase the penalty for first degree sexual abuse from 1-5 to maybe at no less than 3 years?
I don't particularly want to feed them.
I know you don't.
Sorry about that, but
that's okay.
You know, that's my opinion.
I appreciate it.
But you know, it's the kind of thing that You're getting a shell game. Don't look at this, but look at this.
Well, sure.
And I'm sorry, but this is the biggest crock of fluff I have ever seen.
You scared me there for a minute.
I wasn't going to do it to you, Bob.
Cherie, we got to roll.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bob. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye. And Jethro, hey, you're head on.
Bob, what's up?
Ah, not a heck of a lot. How about you?
Yeah, I think I missed out on this fluff topic. What was
It was Cherie. We were talking about this guy who got convicted of the multiple kiddie diddling and kiddie rape up in Preston County. Cherie would apparently like to, and I'm not criticizing her, reinstate the death penalty.
I see. Or something, hard labor, 12 hours a day, to drop, something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was calling about, you know, now that Terry Schiavo has passed on, and if you're a believer in the Christian faith, you know, you have to believe that she is in a better place now.
And you know, some other faiths as well.
Yes, and I was a little surprised this morning. The morning talk show host was in favor of what was going on, and he was getting a lot of calls from his regular listeners that were berating him a little bit. But you know, he was I thought it was good because he was staying above this political fray and was going with, you know, what was right and what was wrong regardless of your political affiliation, and that was good, I thought.
Yeah, and unfortunately it's a rarity, Jethro. I don't know if you've caught it or not, but Bug Spray Delay has come out and said he's threatened Michael Schiavo, he's threatened Congress, the House, he's threatened the Senate. I don't know, but what he was threatening George Bush.
Right. Yeah, they need to take him down. He's a crook, and he's probably nuts too. But you know, they're talking about all this, the conservatives and the Republicans. They want this less government intervention. And something like this happens, and they're turning around, they're hollering, they want Congress, they want all as much government involved as you can get. You know, it's more of the same madness. They're going to say one thing and then do another.
This has been a case study in Republican hypocrisy, Jethro.
Right.
I mean, from start to finish.
And the individual responsibility, I think Mr. Schiavo took individual responsibility, and he had hope for his wife for 7 years.
Well, he tried to rehab her.
Right, and he gave up. But these guys, you know, after the 7 years, the Republicans, they want him to, you know, douse himself in ashes and wear sackcloth for the rest of his life.
Yeah, that seems to be their position. But for me, so much of the fog blew away when I found out that they had sold their list, you know, their donor list, to telemarketers, the Schindlers.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're going to try to finagle some kind of a book deal as well. To me, the Schindlers are a pack of liars.
Well, right, and I expect no less than maybe sometime next week to be cruising across and catch the Christian Broadcasting Network on with a new edition of Swindlers for Schindlers.
Exactly. And and the demonization of Mr. Schiavo has you know, it's complete.
I hope this guy has enough sense to be fearful for his life.
Yeah, he's the devil himself now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what these militia people, I don't know if you heard it earlier in the show, Jethro.
Yes, I did.
These militia people were they're out there calling judges devils and demons. You know, something on the order of 40 judges reviewed the entire process from start to finish, and they came down on the side of Mr. Schiavo.
Yeah, that was the theme this morning that was repeated over and over by the host, was that was the law.
Yeah.
What was right, you know, the law was followed, and everything was done correctly. You have no, you really have no grounds for demanding that, you know, they keep her alive somehow. And there was no, you know, the last film of her was 2001. I think that tells a lot where, you know, there was no current pictures of her.
Right.
Plus, Mr. Schiavo has agreed to an autopsy.
Right. Well, I think that's in his best interest.
And that, there will be scientific proof. And of course, the Republicans are going to try to go against scientific proof. But that is going to prove beyond any doubt at all what exactly her condition was. It's going to be documented. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I'm kind of looking forward, Jethro, when this autopsy comes out and it tells us that everything was as the court had affirmed and as Mr. Schiavo had put forward and the medical experts had testified. It's going to be interesting to watch these people come up with all the tinfoil helmet reasons why it's not so.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to sit back and I'm going to have a first-class giggle. And I'm not trying to be cruel in this. I'm talking about the way they're responding, not Ms. Schiavo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have a first-class giggle when I think back to how we suggested that we went into Iraq for oil or control of oil or any number of reasons, and we got called conspiracy theorists.
Right. Well, and they came out today, of course, changing the subject, came out today with, you know, just a complete breakdown of the intelligence, and there were no mass weapons or anything like that, so.
Yeah, and they gave a great big honking pass to George on it, even though, you know, The CIA didn't declare war on Iraq. George did.
Right. So basically, I guess I'm trying to figure out now what the distraction is going to be. Or is it going to be, you know, all Pope all the time now that Ms. Chavez dead? Who's you know, they're going to stay on Michael Jackson and the Pope? And maybe this Boy Scout pedophile.
I think you're pretty much on track.
Anything to keep the news off the war, which is to me, you know, everybody thinks that the worm has turned now since the elections. I think it's gotten worse, and they're just, you know, they're not reporting it.
Everything that we do over there, even, you know, we cannot drag Iraq down the road to peace. Even if we try, what we're it's going to come back and blow up in our face. I've got a story in my little stack. I've never gotten to it, Jethro. There's a woman out there who made a request of the military. Her son was slaughtered in Iraq, and she just wanted a single photograph taken of the honor guard doing what they do with a coffin coming off the plane at Dover Air Force Base.
Oh, we can't have that.
Nope. She was shut down, and she is absolutely angry. Angry.
Right, it takes some heads off, and rightly so, because it's just enough is enough.
Yeah.
And it can't, you know, you can't make stuff up better than this. It's so crazy. You couldn't make something up worse.
Well,
madness, I tell you.
It is madness, and with that, we're going to roll. Thanks, Jethro.
All right, Bob. See you later.
All right, take care. All right, thanks to everybody who participated. From Jim to Wayne to Jeff to Jethro and Cherie.
Tonight's show was sponsored by John Kepi.
No, produced.
Okay.
Read it.
Tonight's show was produced by John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, and announced at least part by Brian Reznor. Brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the ACT Foundation and our friends at the West Virginia Pipe Creeks. Ben Birch achieves this show at the WhiteRoseSociety.org. Hey, Mommy.